Welcome to Kaput Radio.
Why does the international banking system make it so easy for corruption to flourish?
Colonel Gaddafi's Libya is in revolt. Egypt's Hosni Mubarak has been pushed from power. Tunisia's Ben Ali was the first to go. As well as having power, they were all very rich. Now, Western governments are scrambling to find their wealth and freeze it. And in other assets, yachts, fast cars, and even submarines. But how, as if by magic, did their assets get through in the first place? The answer involves hidden accounts, tax havens, and shell companies, and a banking and regulatory system unable to see through the corruption and halt the flow of dirty money. Colonel Gaddafi and others associated with so-called dirty money like Mubarak have been nicknamed kleptocrats. But the Gaddafi case and that of others before it raises the question of whether the banks in Britain and other Western financial centres actually abide by the rules or even care. They're supposed to operate a system of due diligence, but according to their critics, they are complicit in the corruption.
There are always going to be a certain number of institutions, some of them quite large, that simply don't play by the rules.
It's not that long ago that we saw these dictators on television being wined and dined and feted by the international community. One thinks of Nicolas Sarkozy hugging Ben Ali on television during a state visit, and then the next day they're relabeled as a plundering dictator.
Neither corruption nor dictatorship can take place without the role of a bank. It takes two to tango. This is a real sort of complicity in the perpetuation of corruption and dictatorship.
Almost invariably, another layer of opaqueness is added by the secret world of tax havens and offshore shell companies.
I think it's a really good question why offshore resorts are still allowed to be in operation. Frequently it has to do with, secret service operations. They would like to funnel monies through offshore places. So there is a kind of an official money laundering going on.
Offshore regimes brazenly advertise that they're open for business. And rest assured, they will respect your privacy. In the British Virgin Islands, you can have a company in 3 days. Directors and shareholders whose identities do not appear on any public record. Exemption from all tax. And no need for any financial statements, accounts or records. But if tax havens and offshore accounts are so central to other more suspect activities, why aren't they shut down?
We don't shut down tax havens for one very good reason. The world's bankers want us to have tax havens because they want places in the world where they can avoid regulation, where they can undertake transactions beyond the eyes of the financial services authority of their country. That's what they need tax havens for. It's hiding what's going on. That's what they sell. It's that secrecy they sell. The tax evasion, the criminality, the trade that somebody doesn't want you to know about, those are taking place elsewhere, not in the tax haven. What the tax haven provides is the secrecy to hide that other activity which is taking place elsewhere.
Paris is the shopping centre of choice for many dictators, particularly African dictators and their families. Here they can indulge their lavish lifestyles, buying up designer clothes, Ferraris, Bugattis and exclusive apartments, while back at home the majority of their citizens have to barely survive on a dollar a day. And none of this would be possible without the banks, happy to handle the money and provide the services. At the last count, £12 billion has been frozen by the banks in the UK. In the US, the figure has reached $34 billion. $5 billion has been identified in one unnamed bank. Obviously, a huge amount of Gaddafi's money has washed through the banks.
The real failure is on the part of governments and regulators to get banks to do the due diligence they're supposed to do. The fact that billions of dollars of potentially corrupt funds have been frozen is a huge indication that perhaps they shouldn't have been there in the first place.
And the bonus system is at the heart of its compliance problems.
The whole cycle is run on a 12-month bonus culture. And the bonus can both incentivise and compromise. And there's no way that a bonus, finance indeed, should be used to compromise the integrity and conduct of risk officers, compliance officers, legal advisers. There are certain areas, which includes in particular compliance, that should not be part of a bank's helicopter culture.
Dirty money. It takes two to tango. This is a real sort of complicity in the perpetuation of corruption.
These are not victimless crimes. They rob the poor. Revenues from oil and minerals that should go to help local people and economic development are diverted or misappropriated into the hands of the corrupt rulers and government officials. The leakage of funds also robs the taxpayers of the rich world, whose taxes pay for overseas aid.
The best figures that are out there at the moment show that for every dollar in aid that goes into developing countries, $10 come out in illicit financial flows.
Remember Live Aid in 1985, that symbol of concern and generosity? Did you know that during that year, the hungriest countries in Africa gave twice as much money to us in the developed world as we gave to them? There was another famine last year. Perhaps you were one of those who took part in Red Nose Day. Did you know that before that day was over, the equivalent of all the money that Comic Relief had raised in Britain, about £12 million, had come back to the rich countries? For every day, this amount is given by the poorest to the rich as interest payments on loans that most of them never asked for or knew existed. In other words, contrary to a myth long popular in the West, it's been the poor of the world who financed the rich, not the other way around.
It's about competition. I mean, it's about market share. It's about being aggressive. It's about shareholder value. If you're a CEO, do you think your shareholders really care whether you're Billy Buttercup or not? You know, do you think that they would prefer you to be a nice guy over having money in their pocket? I don't think so. I think people want money. That's the bottom line.
Putting profits before safety. They're putting profits before human life.
There are always going to be a certain number of institutions, some of them quite large, that simply don't play by the rules.
Globalization is used by its champions to suggest a coming together of people of all races, of all countries, and it will relieve poverty, it will distribute wealth. What we're actually seeing is precisely the opposite processes in train, that the poor are becoming markedly poorer, while the very wealthy are becoming staggeringly wealthy.
No! No!
What is wrong with me? Why are my financial relationships so volatile? I can't help it. I want a big, strong bank. I need him.
But why do you put up with it? They cheat and they lie. They hit you with interest and they slap you with hidden fees.
I just can't help it. Size is important to me. Does that make me a whore?
Yes. You should really hit the town. There's plenty of nice banks out there.
Have you been financially abused? Well, suck it up.
We get the same sort of treatment from banks. The bank manager himself irritates people by writing to them immediately they owe the bank fourpence. I advise you, if you've had this trouble in the past but are now in credit, to write to your own bank manager, pointing out that he owes you money and would he please drop in and have a word with you about it. The banks themselves, though, are in the business of making money. So when they get hold of yours, they make it as difficult as possible for you to get any of it back. To this end, they open just after you arrive at work and close 2 hours before you leave. And should you sacrifice your lunch hour to join the angry queue in the street outside, don't blame the single cashier on duty for the slowness of the service. After all, the cleverer cashiers are out at lunch. In this way, banking hours have been carefully tailored to the needs of two classes of persons, the unemployed and bank robbers. Actually, the increase in the number of bank robbers in Britain is not as horrifying as it sounds. It is now known that over 70% of them are only frustrated customers trying to get at their money. Yes, banks are maddeningly greedy. But to some of the more eccentric professions, money isn't everything. We all know what actors are after.
Come on in, Mrs. Cranbourne. Thanks for coming in today. Take a seat.
Thank you, dear.
Would you like a cup of tea?
Oh, yes, dear, please. Lovely, thank you.
How do you take it? Milk? Sugar?
Yes, milk and six, please. Lovely, dear. Thank you.
So, Mrs. Cranbourne, how can I help you today?
Well, Margaret down the road said I should come see you about investing my husband's life insurance.
And Margaret's correct. We've got a great range of investment opportunities from unit trusts to OEICs. Do you know how much exactly you're looking to invest?
Oh, sorry, dear. Say it again.
How much are you looking to invest?
It's in and around 25,000.
And have you got any other savings you'd like to contribute?
Oh, yes. I made quite a large saving over Christmas.
Oh, really? What was that in?
Woolworths. They had a fabulous closing down sale.
Sorry, I meant investment savings.
Oh, no, dear. This is the first time I've looked at investing my savings.
Well, as I said earlier, we've got a great range of investment opportunities. Do you know how exactly you want to invest your money?
Well, Margaret down the road said that I should look at an investment that's no risk, tax exempt, and offers a fixed rate of 10% return.
While stand the banks of England, England stands. When fall the banks of England, England falls.
Week, Charlie. Federal Treasurer Wayne Swan passed his first budget, which must have been painful for him.
Yes.
And the big winners, Chuck, this week in the budget?
I've got them right here, the big winners. Working families.
Finally! Finally, the Labor Party is doing something about working families. We never hear enough about working families. Chuck, the big losers this week.
Well, the big losers in the budget, going over the figures, in a word, us.
Yep, us.
Yes. Billionaire 30-year-olds living in fictional mansions have been hit really hard by this budget.
Hit hard by this budget. The government hates us, Chuck.
Hates us.
They hate us. Luxury car tax, up. We have nothing but luxury cars. I own 4 gold-plated Cadillacs. I'm paying through the nose for this one.
Yeah, and the bad news doesn't end there, Michael. Let's have a look at this, all right? Tax on ivory helicopters, up. Tax on private zoos, up.
A man can't own a giraffe anymore.
The worst one that makes me furious, Michael, a tax on diamond codpieces, up.
I've got 6 of them, 1 for each penis. I'm furious. They've left me with nothing, Charlie.
I actually did some calculations overnight, Michael. Now, working families are, according to this budget, $10 a week better off. I don't have a problem with that.
No, that'll buy a Slurpee.
What gets me furious is, per week, you and I are worse off by $122,000.
What?
That is just not right.
Well, mansion battlers are really doing it tough. You know the ones who are doing it pretty easy, Chuck?
Peasants.
Yes, peasants. Because they don't pay rent. But as you remember, Chuck, we have our old friend from the mansion, our 2020 delegate, Annette Vaudry, who we followed on her journey to Canberra. Now, since then, many people have been wondering about what she's been up to since then, so we sent our cameras down on budget night to see what she's been up to.
Well, it was Wayne Swan's first budget last night, so obviously, budget night party. I bought heaps of these before the prices went up. My friend Stuart, he works for the Minister for Rural Roads, and he secretly told me about the rise in the prices, so eureka! 23 people have RSVP'd on my Facebook group invitation, but no one here yet though. I did invite everyone in the Young Labour group, but sure they'll arrive soon though. Party! Stuart!
Happy budget night. Brought some brewskis for you.
Ah, oh, cool. Thanks for coming.
Hi.
Karen, hi. Are you on the Young Labour Facebook group?
Yeah.
But you don't even like politics. Stuart, this is my Asian friend, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
This is the drinking game that I've got worked out. So anytime Wayne says budget...
Yay! Yay!
Skull.
Skull. Budget, skull.
There it is!
Yay! Stu, do you want to share the baby bonus with me? Budget! He said budget! He said budget! 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 See ya!
Thanks for having us.
Bye! Stu, do you want to come inside and have a coffee or something?
Thanks very much. Speak to you soon.
See ya!
Cheers!
See you, Stu! I don't really remember much after that, because they say budget a lot in the budget.
Good morning, America. I'm House Majority Leader Eric Cantor. You might recognize me from my video on the Republicans' U-Cut program.
Today, we are launching U-Cut.
House Republicans have already offered more than $120 billion in common sense spending reductions.
That was back when we had Democrats to worry about, but not anymore. So I'm here today to pledge that I will not get up from this desk until I cut all the pork and waste out of this federal budget and reduce the deficit down to zero. So first up, let's cut federal funding for NPR. That's $100 million of taxpayer money we can save every year. Jonathan, put that up on the thermometer. You did do it. Well, you already did it. Well, how come I don't... Okay, so it's... All right, we got a ways to go. Okay, we're just gonna have to go big. Let's end the presidential election fund. Let's end the earned income tax credit and collect all delinquent taxes. What's that gonna bring us? Like $2.7 billion. Put that number up on the... Okay. John, are you sure this thing is working?
The defense budget's pretty big.
I'm gonna pretend you didn't just say that, okay? There's plenty of hippie programs in here to cut. I just need to find them. Okay, we're close. I did have to cut earmarks and farm subsidies, all foreign aid, and half the government workforce, but we're all the way up to, we're 5%.
You know, the rich could probably afford more taxes.
No, we can't! Listen, I'm not getting up from this chair until I balance this with waste cuts, okay? That's how we're doing it. Okay, America, I made some tough choices. I sold the Capitol building. Don't worry, there's a Whole Foods down the street Congress can meet at. They have bathrooms, it's fine.
Why don't you just leave your office?
It's not my office anymore, remember? I sold it. It's now Starbucks Presents, Eric Cantor's Office of Chino. I did it, America, it's done. Balanced, $1.56 trillion.
That's just through cuts in pork spending?
People think Social Security is pork, right? Also, North Dakota, you're now South Saskatchewan. I'm sorry.
All right, settle down, people. Listen up. We have to cut this company's budget in half, and we are not leaving this room until we do it. Is that clear? Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Good. Now, I want you all to dig deep. I need your best ideas, and I need them now. Shelley?
Well, I've looked at the budget, and frankly, I think we're spending way too much on transportation.
Transportation, huh? Daniel, what do you think?
Well, sir, our online division is hemorrhaging money. I say we lose it.
Okay. Peter?
I gotta go with Dan here.
Derek?
I'd lose tech support.
Okay. Red?
Downsize research?
Water guy?
I don't work here.
Right. Derek's twin brother.
I agree with what Derek said.
Mountain Joe.
Well, we could consolidate marketing.
Snake Eyes.
Scale back IT.
Chief Big Cloud.
Long before, sister.
Not now, Gary.
Sorry, Chief Big Cloud.
I would cut accounting.
Crazy Carl. CEO's nephew.
Massive layoffs.
Gigantic Turkey Sub.
I say we put Master!
Was it no time for joking, Gigantic Turkey Sub?
Cut human resources.
Mounted Tiger Head.
Longer lunch breaks.
Did you even prepare for this meeting?
No.
Right, okay. Invisible Man. Invisible Man.
He's out sick.
Captain Pajama Shark.
Present.
Never mind. Arcade Fire.
Cut human resources.
Hold that thought. Yeah? Uh-huh. I see. Guys, I've got some very bad news.
Hello? Ah, Mr. Victim, yes, I'm glad to say that I've got the go-ahead to lend you the money you require, yes? We will, of course, want as security the deeds of your house, of your aunt's house, of your second cousin's house, of your wife's parents' house, and of your granny's bungalow. And we will, in addition, need a controlling interest in your new company, unrestricted access to your private bank account, the deposit in our vaults of your three children as hostages, and a full legal indemnity against any acts of embezzlement carried out against you by any members of our staff during the normal course of their duties. No, I'm afraid we couldn't accept your dog instead of your youngest child. We would like to suggest a brand new scheme of ours under which 51% of both your dog and your wife pass to us in the event of your suffering a serious accident. Fine, no, not at all. Nice to do business with you. Miss Godfrey, could you send in Mr. Ford, please? Now, where's that dictionary? Ah, yes, here we are. Oh, dear. Inner life. Come in. Mr. Ford, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
How do you do? I'm a merchant banker.
How do you do, Mr.
I forget my name at the moment, but I am a merchant banker.
Well, I wondered whether you'd like to contribute to the orphan's home.
Well, I don't want to show my hand too early, but actually here at Slater Nazi, we are quite keen to get into orphans, you know. Developing market and all that. What sort of sum did you have in mind?
Well, you're a rich man.
Yes, I am. Yes, yes. Very, very rich. Quite phenomenally wealthy, yes, I do. I do earn the most startling quantities of cash, yes. Quite right. You're rather a smart young lad, aren't you? To do with someone like you to feed the pantomime horse. Very smart.
Thank you, sir.
Now, you were saying I'm very, 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 very rich.
So, how about a pound?
A pound, yes, I see. Now, this loan would be secured by the deposit.
It's not a loan, sir.
What?
It's not a loan.
Ah.
You get one of these, sir.
It's a bit small for a share certificate, isn't it? Look, I think I better run this over to our legal department. If you could possibly pop back on Friday,
You have to do that. Couldn't you just give me the pound?
Yes, but you see, I don't know what it's for.
Well, it's for the orphans.
Yes.
It's a gift.
A what?
A gift.
Oh, a gift! A tax dodge!
No, I'm all desired.
I don't understand. Can you just explain exactly what you want?
Well, I want you to give me a pound, and then I'll go away and give it to the orphans.
Yes.
Well, that's it.
No, I don't follow this at all. I mean, I don't want to seem stupid, but it looks to me as though I'm a pound down on the whole deal.
Oh, yes, you are.
I am. Well, what is my incentive to give you the pound?
Well, the incentive is to make the orphans happy.
Happy? You're quite sure you've got this right.
Yes, lots of people give me money.
What, just like that?
Oh, yes.
Must be sick. I don't suppose you could give me a list of their names and addresses.
No, I'll just go up to them in the street and ask.
Good Lord. That's the most exciting new idea I've heard in years. It's so simple, it's brilliant. Well, if that idea of yours isn't worth a pound, I'd like to know what is.
Thank you, sir.
The only trouble is, you gave me the idea before I'd given you the pound.
And that's not good business.
Isn't it?
No, I'm afraid it isn't. So, off you go. Nice to do business with you.
As you may know, cigarettes have been linked to cancer, addiction, emphysema, heart disease and premature death. And as a result, we at My Tobacco Company are introducing a total product recall. All of our product will be withdrawn from sale wherever it is in Australia until we can guarantee that it poses absolutely no threat to your health. Because if there's one thing we care about here, it's your health.
Profit of profits. Recently, media and advertising stocks have been in the news. It seems that all the key players in the interactive advertising space are getting snapped up.
That's because they have profits.
Well, sure, but let's take the Microsoft deal for a second and break it down. They acquired the company Aquantive for $6 billion. Yet this online ad agency, Aquantive, only has $50 million in profits. Profit of profits. Did Microsoft pay too much for those profits?
Well, you can never pay too much for profits.
I beg to differ. If you pay $6 billion in profits to generate $2 billion in profits, you've lost $2 billion.
In profits?
Right.
But profits are gained. And if ye seek gain, ye shall avoid pain.
I understand that. But if ye spend gains to make less gains, ye lose gains.
Sounds like voodoo.
Or math, as some call it. Now, Prophet, you're a man who can tell the future.
Yes.
So tell us, which metrics do you use to determine future value?
Well, that depends on what you mean by metrics.
I mean, a mathematical formula that results in a useful measurement.
You have to be very careful with mathematics. They're very detailed. And as they say, the devil's in the detail.
That's definitely where the devil is.
If ye sup with the devil, you must have a long spoon.
I wouldn't sup with the devil with a shovel tied to the end of a window pole. Okay, Prophet of Prophets, take us into your mind, if you would, and help us understand what goes through your mind when you buy a stock, and be specific, please.
I use the P.E.
That's important. Okay, explain what that is to our viewers.
That's prayer for earnings.
Prayer for earnings.
I buy a stock and I pray for earnings. I rise up strong and I say, Heavenly Father, grant my company the will and the strength and the vision to generate profits.
You want profits?
Huge profits. Big, massive quantities of profits.
Amen.
Let oceans of profits flow unto their shores and breaking in waves of historic proportion.
Break a big one.
Let so much money rain down upon my stock that even after the greedy management takes it all for themselves, that there's leftovers for me.
Leave some for the
profit. After all the selling and general administrative demons have been cast out.
Cast them out.
That there are profits left for your favorite prophet, the Prophet of Prophets. Amen.
Finance major in college.
Art history.
Prophet, great seeing you today.
Pleasure.
Thanks for coming.
Discussions, debates, dialogue, duologue, diatribe, dissension, declamation, double talk.
You can check the playlist at kaputradio.libsyn.com.
If you wish to contact me, please visit radio4all.net, search for Kaput X Radio, and then proceed to the contact producer link and send me your email with the available inbox. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Radio. Small talk. Talk that trash. Expressions editorial.